This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio@sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at SportsTalkNet. The Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Wednesday, December 19th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio@sportstalknetwork.com. That's studio@sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today. We're going to start in the NBA, where the Lakers trying to finally win three games in a row at home to the lowly Bobcats. But I don't think anyone thinks that the Lakers have turned it around. Even though they beat the Bobcats yesterday, barely, 101-100, it was an ugly game. And if you watched all of it or even the highlights, you saw the struggles of the Lakers continue. The Bobcats had lost 11 in a row. They were down. They were up 18 on the Lakers in the third quarter. The Lakers come back, however, make a stirring run to take the lead. And frankly, I thought they were fortunate to win, because up 101-100, the Bobcats with the last possession, they actually got three shots at the buzzer. Kemba Walker's shot was blocked. Henderson had a nice, easy, I thought, lefty layup that he missed. Ben Gordon had a desperation three at the buzzer. All three missed. And, you know, I guess it's the old, a win is a win is a win. But the Lakers did get Pau Gasol back, 10 points, 9 rebounds in 29 minutes. He missed 8 games. It's going to take him some time to get back into the flow of things. I mean, they have the numbers. You know, Kobe scores 30, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Howard has 16 points, 18 rebounds. But really, I still think a lot of it revolves. A lot of people are saying now, oh, it doesn't matter when Nash gets back. Of course, I think that's absurd. Remember, Steve Nash was a two-time MVP when Mike D'Antoni was his coach. He's not the Steve Nash of 5 years ago, but he's one of the smartest players in the NBA. He's a great, not good point guard. He can still play, and I think he's going to have to be the glue. But Kobe yesterday, 11 for 24, 30 points, led the comeback. And the Lakers do get a win. Lakers 101, Bobcats 100. The Lakers now 12-14, so they're not really making any noise, but they were 9-14. Charlotte drops to 7-17, almost stole one on the road, but couldn't make that final shot, and did have a few legit opportunities to make that final shot. After the game, Kobe was, you know, we won the game type thing, and Gasol has to get back into game shape. I don't think it's a bad mix of players, but I do think you need the glue. I think you need Steve Nash to come back and run the show. And really, no word. I mean, this was originally, you'll recall, a one-week injury or a 10-day injury. Then there was like a fracture, and now he's been out for multiple weeks. So the Lakers do get a win over the Bobcats, but it's, look, there are no moral victories, etc., but it's 101-100. They win, the Bobcats lose. Lakers now have won three in a row, if that means anything. And their record does go to 12-14. A number of other games in the NBA last night. Minnesota, which has revitalized itself with the return of Kevin Love, they go down to Miami to play the Heat. And even with Kevin Love, of course, tough place to be. They're now 7-3 in their last 10, Minnesota, but they lose yesterday to the Miami Heat, Miami 103. Minnesota 92. LeBron is LeBron. What can you say? 22 points, 11 assists, 7 rebounds, 4 blocks. It's nice to have Dwayne Wade in your corner. 24 points, 4 assists. Miami has a team with 14 blocks. Love with 11 points and 18 rebounds. He only shot 2 for 10 from the field. That was the key to the game. Miami moves to 16-6, even when you think they're not playing great. Poof, they're 16-6. That's how good they are. Bosch also with 15 points. So Miami gets the win, 103-92. Kirilenko leads the Timberwolves with 22. Pekovic, that big man center. Love, as you know, plays power forward and goes out to shoot. Pekovic with 18 points and 12 rebounds. Minnesota actually has a good team. They're 12 and 11 now. They've been much better, obviously, since Love has come back. And to me, they certainly look like a playoff team. So, Heat 103, Timberwolves 92. Another interesting game, the Spurs on the road to play the Nuggets. And the Nuggets, again, they have a very good team. I don't think Iguodala is a star. I think Gallinari is excellent. Ty Lawson's a very good point guard. They don't have that star to make a run, for example, in the playoffs, but they certainly will be a good regular season team, and they beat the Spurs 112-106. Danilo Gallinari, one of the guys who came over from the Knicks in the trade, a talented guy in the Carmelo trade last year, 28 points, 9 rebounds. He certainly is an excellent player. Fareed, the beast, the rebounding beast, led the nation in reboundings, was great last year in the pros, 19 points, 11 rebounds. Ty Lawson, 12 points, 5 assists. Iguodala, a borderline star, 14 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. If you watch him play, he's a human highlight film. He's one of the best leapers in the NBA. Brewer off the bench, 16 points. For the Spurs, Tim Duncan had a turn back the clock game, 31 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists. I mean, what can you say about this guy? Tony Parker, 13 points, only 4 assists. Ginobili off the bench, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Obviously, they're big three, but not enough on the road. The Nuggets, 112. The Spurs, 106. The Nuggets up to 14 and 12. The Spurs dropped to 19 and 8. We will get to the standings in a little bit. Another interesting game. Utah comes into Brooklyn to play the Nets. And after that terrific start that the Nets had, and are they as good as the Knicks? Are they better than the Knicks? Beating the Knicks the first time they played at the Barclays Center. They've kind of fallen into a little tailspin here where they get the lead, and then they give up the lead late, and they can't win the game, and that's exactly what happened yesterday. The Jazz on the road in Brooklyn beat the Nets 92-90. Look, the Jazz, another team, a bunch of very good players, no superstar. I always thought Al Jefferson was a borderline superstar, but he's not a superstar. 16 points, 11 rebounds. Foy's a very good point guard. Yesterday, though, 8 points, 3 assists. Mo Williams, who has come over from Cleveland for a second life, and he's a very good player. He has 19 points, 6 assists. Again, the Jazz have, to me, they're like the Nuggets. They have a bunch of good players, but they don't have any stars. And although they do get the win over the Nets, to me, have two stars, of course, Joe Johnson, Darren Williams. Yesterday, Johnson, after hitting that game-winning buzzer shot a couple nights ago, yesterday, 21 points, 4 rebounds. Darren Williams, 14 points, 5 assists. Brooke Lopez back, 16 points, 5 rebounds. They just didn't quite get enough production. At the end of this game, if you saw the game, Gerald Wallace had a good look at a 3 to win the game. Now, he's not a great 3-point shooter, but he did have a very good look, missed the shot. Reggie Evans, who's been very good for the Nets this year, gets the rebound, has a short, literally 6-footer, can't score. Jazz 92, Nets 90, Jazz up to 14 and 12. Brooklyn, after that great start, down now to 13 and 11. Number of other NBA games we'll go through quickly. The Bulls over the Celtics in Chicago, Bulls 100, Celtics 89. Obviously a good win for the Bulls. Luol Deng leads them with 21. Noah with 13 rebounds and 10 assists. Give him a lot of credit. Triple-double, 11 points as well. The Celtics led by Rondo with 26 points and 8 assists. Not enough. Bulls 100. Celtics 89. Bulls 14 and 10. Celtics at 500, 8 and 8. The Hawks beat the lowly Wizards in overtime. The Wizards take them to overtime, but no John Wall. I saw a thing in the paper, John Wall starting to hopefully work out next week. I mean, it's been a disaster for him. He's got a bad knee, and you got to wonder how much that's going to hurt him when he comes back. Yesterday in overtime, the Hawks 100, the Wizards 95. Williams leads the Hawks with 24 points. Crawford leads the Wizards with 17 points and 11 assists. A few other games, the Bucks 13 and 10 now after Jennings goes for 34. They beat the Pacers 98-93. The Pacers at 13-12 now. Hill leads them with 18 points. George leads them with 10 rebounds and 5 assists. But the Bucks get the win to go to 13-10. Other games, the Mavericks with O.J. Mayo scoring 26 points and 8 assists to lead Dallas, beats the 76ers 107-100. 76ers, another team to me, you know, like the Nuggets. A bunch of good players, well coached, but not good enough. They dropped to 12-13. The Mavericks still waiting for Dirk Nowitzki. It's been 25 games now. Give them credit. They're hovering around 500 without their superstar. They rise to 12-13. Two more games last night in the NBA. Golden State Warriors, to me, one of the very early season surprises. Mark Jackson, an excellent second-year coach. He's got David Lee, a player I hated to see the Knicks give up. But the Warriors yesterday beat the Hornets 103-96. David Lee, 26 points, 9 rebounds to lead Golden State. Jared Jack with 10 assists. Anderson with 28 points for the Hornets. Anthony Davis with 16 rebounds, but not enough. Warriors go to 17-8. The Hornets drop to 5-19. The final game between two not very good teams, the Raptors and Cleveland, to play the Cavaliers. The Raptors on the road get a good road win, beating the Cavaliers 113-99. I'm certainly one who thought the Cavaliers would be better. Kyrie Irving did miss 11 games, but now he's back. They should win these games. Irving yesterday leads the Cavaliers with 23 points and 7 assists, but it's not enough. Jose Calderon, an excellent player who's lost in Toronto. You really don't know much about him because he is lost in Toronto. He leads the Raptors with 23 points and 6 assists. Toronto 113 on the road at Cleveland. Cleveland 99. Quickly to the standings in the NBA. The Knicks 18-6, despite being blown out by the Rockets the other day. If you got to see any of that game, Jeremy Lin had a field day. I think he's recovered from his knee injury now. But the Knicks have to be happy. Felton's doing a good job. Kidd starts, I don't know if Kidd starts at the two. I guess he does. But they have a very good backcourt. They played very well. You got to wonder if they tried too hard against Jeremy Lin. But the Knicks, 18-6, lead the Atlantic. Brooklyn's dropped to 13-11. The Celtics at 12-12. Philly at 12-13. Toronto way behind despite their win yesterday at 7-19. In the Central, Chicago leads with 14-10. The Bucks right behind them, 13-10. The Pacers have come back to be 13-12. Looks like right now long seasons for Detroit at 7-20 and Cleveland at 5-21. In the Southeast, you know, at Miami, not running away because Atlanta's having a heck of a year, but Miami 16-6, Atlanta 15-7, and then three not very good teams. Orlando, give them credit, they're 11-13, but you know they're a different team this year, obviously with no Dwight Howard. Charlotte 7-17, Washington 3-19, the worst record in the league, going nowhere, especially without John Wall. In the West, Oklahoma City has been the best team record-wise; they're 20-4. Denver and Utah behind them at 14-12 in the Northwest. Minnesota 12-11 coming back. Portland 11-12. Five good teams in that division, but Oklahoma City clearly the class. Out in the Pacific, another interesting, at least three team, I'm going to include the Lakers. Clippers 18-6. Golden State 17-8. Golden State a surprise, but again, Mark Jackson, an excellent young coach. L.A. Lakers 12-14 off that three-game winning streak. Phoenix and Sacramento 10-15, 7-17, respectively, going nowhere. Finally, in the Southwest, an excellent Memphis team 16-6. San Antonio having played a lot more games than Memphis, behind them percentage-wise 19-8. Houston at 500, 12-12, the youngest team in the league. Dallas 12-13, waiting for Dirk to come back. And New Orleans 5-19, going nowhere this year for young Anthony Davis. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-603-8308. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure. denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308. 1-800-603-8308.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts.
Follow your favorite NFL team all season long on sportstalknetwork.com. Team news, injury updates, game previews, and recaps are updated 24/7. sportstalknetwork.com. Your teams, your city, your passion.
Good news, everyone. Lumber Liquidators wants to send you a free catalog of hardwood flooring options. Call 800-421-1346. See how you can buy the highest quality flooring for the lowest possible prices. Here's what some of our customers have to say.
I've installed a lot of hardwood floors, but this is the best bang for the buck.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
I love Lumber Liquidators. I got quality products for less, and the online ordering was easy.
At Lumber Liquidators, we buy direct from the mills, and we pass the savings on to you. Call right now and get the floor guide and catalog absolutely free. It has hundreds of top quality flooring such as solid hardwoods, laminates, bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a transferable 100-year warranty. Our catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to help you find the right floor for you. Call 800-421-1346 and get your free catalog. 800-421-1346. That's 800-421-1346.
Blue Zoo Radio with Frank Reese, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. only on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
See the hottest musical event that's part talent show, part fairy tale, and all fun. Disney on Ice presents Rockin' Ever After. Introducing Merida from Disney Pixar's Brave and featuring Ariel, Belle, and Rapunzel. Come rock out when Disney on Ice hits your town.
You and your family are invited to get kids' tickets for $10. Restrictions and fees may apply. Tickets available at Northeast Ohio Discount Drug Mart locations and theqarena.com. Playing Quicken Loans Arena January 11th through 21st.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll do a little NFL now, an extraordinary press conference with Rex Ryan of the New York Jets. If you followed the fiasco of the Jets this year, if you watched the national TV game Monday night, Titans 14, Jets 10, that's kind of how it's been for the Jets all year when they play poorly, and boy did they play poorly, of course. All Mark Sanchez, 5 turnovers. Everyone's trying to say not his fault, not his fault, not his fault, but he certainly has regressed. Where you heard after the first 2 years, you heard all last year, here's a guy who's won 4 playoff games on the road, and good for him. But this year and last year have been disasters, this year worse than last year. And Ryan announced yesterday that Sanchez was not going to start, but he did not announce that Tim Tebow was going to start. He announced that Greg McElroy was going to start. Now, McElroy, the big winner from Alabama, you'll recall, he did come in and win that Arizona game by driving them down the field for a 1 touchdown in a 7-6 victory, something Sanchez was unable to do. For some reason, they didn't take Sanchez out in the fourth quarter. He threw 2 picks in the fourth quarter. He had 3 opportunities to drive them down the field and keep their playoff hopes alive. It's a whole separate issue whether how the Jets could possibly, as bad as they played, have been alive for the playoffs before Monday night is a joke in the commentary on the NFL. But Sanchez benched, McElroy to start today. There was an extraordinary press conference about a half an hour ago. And again, you'll hear, I mean, Rex Ryan sounds like a defeated man to me. He said they might put all 3 quarterbacks on the roster this year, this week. He won't even answer the question who's the backup, Tebow or Sanchez. McElroy will start. They did ask why there weren't three quarterbacks there last week, presumably thinking maybe McElroy would come in instead of Tebow like he did in the Arizona game. Remember, Tebow had to crack ribs during that game. But he had some, you know, doublespeak. We had to go with six receivers, so we couldn't keep three quarterbacks. I mean, he was just, you know, going backwards the whole, on his heels, the whole press conference. And it's sad to see what happens, but there was too much bluster from Rex Ryan. There was too much bluster from the New York Jets. Now, they lost Revis, probably the best defensive player or certainly the best cornerback in football. They lost Antonio Holmes, their top playmaker on offense. So they do have a lot of excuses, but Sanchez has been terrible all year. If you've seen the stats the last 2 years, he has 50 turnovers, 50, and he leads the entire NFL in turnovers in the last 2 years. So in New York, of course, it's a free-for-all on Sanchez, on Rex Ryan, on anyone you want to criticize. The problem for the Jets is Sanchez is guaranteed $8.25 million next season, guaranteed. If they release him, it's a $17 million cap hit. Some people think they're going to keep him on the roster but not let him start next year, and they're going to try and go after someone else, like a Michael Vick, for example, or somebody. We'll have to see, but it's just unbelievable what's happened to the Jets. They've gone totally backwards the last 2 years, and it doesn't look like they're going to turn it around anytime soon. So McElroy will start. Tebow will not. The article in the papers today in New York is Tebow wants out if he's not going to start the last two games he won. You know, he really was misled. Whatever you think of Tebow, he really was misled. He thought he was going to get some kind of opportunity to play, and he got virtually no opportunity to play. At the press conference today, asked about it, Ryan said, oh, he had those cracked ribs for 5 or 6 weeks, which, of course, really isn't true. He hardly played at all the first 10 weeks, and then he's had the cracked ribs for the last 3 or 4 weeks. But whatever, Rex Ryan doing the two-step. If you get a chance to listen to that interview, you should. A few other things. RG3, questionable for Sunday, and RG3 is in an interesting position, but there's no quarterback controversy there, but he wants to play. Kirk Cousins was excellent last week, won the game the week before, you'll recall, with that late touchdown drive and then that two-point conversion, and then they won it in overtime. So he's obviously, his stock is up a little bit. But RG3 will play if the doctors clear him 100%. Otherwise, according to Mike Shanahan, he will not play. A few baseball notes, a number of interesting baseball signings. You probably know the Houston Astros are going to go to the American League this year. They need a DH, and yesterday they signed Carlos Pena. Now, Pena, you know, a hot and cold guy, was never a great average hitter, always a power hitter, but last year, you know, he was below the Mendoza line. I think he hit 187 for the Rays, but he did have 19 home runs. He does have left-handed pop. The Astros, coming over from the National League, do need a designated hitter, so Carlos Pena is the guy. The Rays, Pena's team last year, Tampa Bay Rays, signed Roberto Hernandez to a one-year deal. You may not know Roberto Hernandez. He's the pitcher formerly known as Fausto Carmona, who has had his ups and downs, but is and can be a quality major league pitcher. So the Rays add him to their pitching-rich staff. Mike Pelfrey, formerly of the Mets, a one-year deal for $4 million with Minnesota. So that hurts the Mets because Pelfrey is not a bad pitcher, up and down, but certainly finds a new home in Minnesota. The Mets also lose R.A. Dickey, as you know, official now. He's getting a two-year, $25 million extension to go to Toronto, and they're penciling him in as number one. We'll just have to see. Dickey now has 3 years at $30 million. The Mets could have had him for $5 million this year, but decided to trade him for a couple of prospects. And Buck, the Toronto catcher, he'll probably start for the Mets next year. R.A. Dickey sending thank yous all over to the New York fans. But at the end of the day, it obviously wasn't about a home team discount, because he was offered 2 years, $20 million on top of his $5 million contract this year, and he signed for $5 million more, 2 years, $25 million with the Toronto Blue Jays. A few other signings. Stephen Drew will be the shortstop for the Red Sox this year. 1 year, $9.5 million. He had a broken ankle last year. He missed most of the season. And Hiroyuki Nakajima is the Oakland A's latest player from Japan. 2 years, $6.5 million. He will be their shortstop. Nakajima, 30 years old, was an eight-time All-Star in Japan. His average is average in Japan when he played there is 302, so we'll see if another position player, very few of them, some do, but very few of them can make the jump. Quickly now, college basketball last night, three top 10 teams in action, all 3-1. Winthrop actually stuck around with Ohio State, but at the end of the day, Ohio State 65, Winthrop 55, Ohio State ranked 7th in the country. DeSean Thomas, 21 points, 9 rebounds for the Buckeyes. Number 4, Arizona, Hammers, Oral Roberts, Arizona 89, Oral Roberts 64, Mark Lyon, 17.7 assists for Arizona, coached by Sean Miller. They were off to a 9-0 start. And number 9, Kansas, Hammers, Richmond at home. All three teams were at home, Ohio State, Arizona, and Kansas. Kansas 87, Richmond 59. Jeff Withey, a very good big man, 17 points, 13 rebounds. That's now a 28-game home winning streak for the Jayhawks. Those are your top 10 teams who were in action last night. Your TV tonight, ESPN doubleheader. If you're interested in the Battle of New York, the Brooklyn Nets at the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. This is already a quality rivalry. Second game of that doubleheader, a very good Milwaukee team goes down to an even better Grizzlies team in Memphis. Bucks at Grizzlies, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. So that's an ESPN NBA doubleheader. Next at Nets at Knicks at 7, Bucks at Grizzlies at 9:30. A few college basketball games. Xavier at Cincinnati, always a battle if you recall the fights last year. 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. Western Michigan at Duquesne, 7 o'clock Eastern on the NBC Sports Network. Oregon at UTEP, University of Texas at El Paso, 8 o'clock Eastern on the CBS Sports Network. And North Carolina at Texas, 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN2. This is the Steve Kallis Show, or at SportsTalkNetwork.com.